was passed to Kerry.
Good morning. Good morning, church. I asked my wife to get me a cup, and I said, what's that? It says Rise and Cry on the cup there. You might not be able to see that, but I'll turn it around that way because it's not right, is it? Says same thing, does it? Oh, rise and cry. There you go. Rise and shout and cry for the Lord. Doesn't sound right, does it? But anyway. Morning, church. How are you? I'm speaking on faith or in faith this morning on the amount of prayers that have been going towards me for my cough. I have been saying a sentence and then just fitting and coughed for the last couple of days. So I've already made my couple of sentences without coughing. So praise the Lord. So if you're an intercessor in this room this morning, pray. All right, because I've got a word for you that I really want to give this morning, and I'm excited to give it. Who's excited this morning? It's a long weekend, isn't it? You should be. Hey, praise the Lord. But I'm going to be speaking this morning on the second part. Oh, first of all, Daniel and Kirsty, Ellie Grace, it's so good to have another one in the house this morning. Another one. We're just increasing our numbers in this church, and keep going. Many more. And for all you young marrieds, come on. Yeah, get your act together. And for those who have been married a long time, hey, why not? Why not? Look at Abraham. Hey. Hey, we'll be talking about him this morning. Hey, even God changed his name from Abraham to Abraham when he had kids. Sarai to Sarah when she had a child. So maybe God may change your name. Who knows? But anyway, this morning I'm going to be speaking on El Elyon, God Most High. Everyone say El Elyon. El Elyon. Very good. Right, names are very important, aren't they? They are very important. Like Ellie Grace is very important. And most of us who are parents put a great deal of thought into naming our children, don't we? Well, some do. But many of us go and buy books that contains hundreds, if not thousands, of names for babies, along with descriptions of what the baby name means and with alternate spellings. And some just pull out the Bible and choose names. And when you come down to our Christian Football League and you think you're back in Bible times because you hear, go Noah, go Moses, go Ezekiel. You know, it's amazing. But names are very important. And it just reminds me, maybe you've heard about the pregnant woman who was involved in a car accident. And while she was in hospital, she fell into a coma. She was a very bad accident. And when she woke up several days later, the woman noticed that she was no longer carrying the child. And she asked the doctor, what happened to my baby? And the doctor replied, ma'am, you've had twins. You're a proud mother of a handsome young baby boy and a beautiful baby girl. Isn't that wonderful? And the shock set in and she was like, oh my goodness, how long have I been in a coma for? She goes, 5 weeks. Also, you should know that while you're in a coma, your brother named your children for you. And she goes, oh no, yeah. She goes, oh no. Not my brother, he's not really all together, if you know what I mean. What did he name them? And the doctor replied, well, ma'am, your brother named your daughter Denise. Oh, that's okay, that's not bad. Then she hesitantly asked, what's the babe boy's name? And the doctor said, oh, DeNephew. Yes. Finally got a laugh out of you guys. If you're visiting here today, they don't get jokes. They just don't get it, you know, but anyway. Denise and DeNephew, yeah. You can use that one, all right. Now, today we're going to continue our series, Known by His Names, and as we consider another name God used for himself in the Bible. And the name we're considering today is El Elyon, literally God Most High. All right, now focus today will be the story of Melchizedek's visit to Abraham. Now, for some of you who don't know your Bible that well, I'm speaking of Abraham and Abraham. So I'll be switching back to the same person. All right, Abraham, Abraham. Abraham, Abraham, Abraham. Now, where he uses the name God a number of times, but for the first, a little background. Abraham's nephew, okay, and other residents of Sodom had been kidnapped as slaves, a prize by war, and a coalition of Macedonian kings that conducted raids on that region. Now, Abraham gathered his men and conducted a nighttime raid on the unsuspecting armies. He rescued both the kidnapped Sodomites as well as all the valuables that they had plundered from the city. Now, on the road back home from Hebron, Abraham comes to Salem in the valley of Shaveh, just south of the present-day Jerusalem. Now, that is where we pick up the story of Melchizedek's visit to Abraham, where the name El Elyon is used repeatedly. So in your Bibles, El Elyon is translated God Most High. So we pick that up in Genesis chapter 14. Okay, Genesis chapter 14, verses 17 to 23. Now it says, as Abraham returned from his victory over Kedorlaomer and his allies, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh. That is the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, the king of Salem, and a priest of God Most High, brought him bread and wine. Melchizedek blessed Abraham with this blessing. Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who helped you conquer your enemies. Then Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods he had recovered. The king of Sodom told him, give back my people who were captured, but you may keep for yourself all the goods that you have recovered. Abraham replied, I solemnly promise the Lord God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, that I will not take so much as a single thread or sandal thong from you. Otherwise, you might say, I am the one who made Abraham rich. Now, from this passage, we learn three wonderful truths, and in your outline, you've got them there, about El Elyon, our God. So everyone say El Elyon again. Right, I want you to know that name, because a lot of you people have probably never heard of it. But El Elyon. So number one in your outline, El Elyon is supreme. Okay, Melchizedek blessed Abraham with the blessing. Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, by El Elyon, creator of heaven and earth. See, the name El Elyon is found 49 times in the Bible, and it occurs either as God Most High, the Lord Most High, or the Most High God, or simply Most High or the Highest. Isn't it amazing? Just before I got up, Craig was talking about getting up there. He wants us to come up to him. And he's that high. He's the highest. So we should be, when we praise and worshiping, we should be reaching and taking us up where he is. That's what he wants. He wants to hear our praise and worship. Now, the main thing that we need to notice is that it expresses the supremacy of God over all. There is none higher than him or superior to him. And in this world, we're familiar with levels of authority found in companies, organizations, governments, and even churches. And we see people trying to climb up the corporate ladder to reach the topmost positions. Now, we see politicians running for elections for the highest posts in government. And we see kingdoms and nations vying to become superpowers with economic or military power. But the name El Elyon designates God as being above over every position of authority in heaven and in earth, higher than the greatest monarchs who have ever ruled mighty empires in the past, and higher than the most powerful politicians, prime ministers, and presidents of today's world. How comforting is it to know that in our troubled world, the God Most High, the Most High God, is still ruling and overruling all things. And if anything, that's what I want you to get a revelation of today. That he rules over everything. See, rulers may propose whatever they wish, but the Most High God, El Elyon, will dispose according to his sovereign will, which will prevail. Do you remember before Christ's crucifixion when Pilate was trying to question him? Now consider this exchange between Jesus and Pilate. And it's in John chapter 19, verse 10 and 11. "Won't you talk to me?" says Pilate. Well, Pilate demanded. "You don't realize that I have the power to release you or crucify you." And then Jesus said, "You would have no power over me at all unless it were given to you from above." Can you imagine that? A ruler saying that to you and you turning around and saying that to him. "So the one who brought me to you has the greatest sin." Now we can all say, "Oh, that was Jesus. He can say that." But you know what? You and I can say that too. Because Jesus was talking about the power from above. Now Pilate could not do anything unless the God Most High God allowed him to. Now the name El Elyon is the name that speaks of God's supreme exaltation above all earthly authority. In Psalms 47, 2, it says, "For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is the great King of all the earth." Now, the name El Elyon also describes the Lord Jesus as his exalted state, as the King of kings, as the Lord of lords, to whom every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Isn't that awesome? See, Jesus himself said, "I have been given complete authority in heaven and on earth." The question for us today is, El Elyon supreme over your life? Is he? Obviously, he demonstrates all power, all authority, and all ability, but at the same time, he allows us to choose whether we will follow him or not. My hope and prayer today is that you are submitting to his supremacy. You know, I love ministering to people who have fallen off the path or turned away from God. I always ask them, how's that going for you? How's it going for you? Because they once knew the truth and they tried to leave God behind and think, "Well, no, I can do it on my own." How's it doing for you? And then I tell them that living a life of God and doing things his way is awesome. Is totally awesome. Yeah, you get yourself in some pickles at times, but with his help, with his grace, with his mercy, with his word, with his instruction, oh my goodness. Life is awesome. And if we just took up the Word of God daily and read what he wants to tell us. I mean, you know, I've said it before. You know, you want a word from God? You really want a prophetic word from God? Read the Word. It's gold. It's awesome. Number two, El Elyon is strong. Come on, intercessors, start praying for that tickle. And blessed be God Most High, El Elyon, who has helped you conquer your enemies. See, once Abraham started to leave the land of Ur and seek the promise of God, he had many powerful enemies that tried to stop him. Now, the truth of the matter is that we can never obey God without the enemies of God trying to stop us. Okay? So if you get caught up in the wrong crowd, if you get caught in drugs or porn or gossip or offense or bitterness, living, etc., El Elyon is strong enough to deliver us from all of that. He is. Because the enemy is out there prowling around and wanting to take you to places where you think might be good, and then all of a sudden you got an addiction, and then all of a sudden you're traveling down a path that you wish you wouldn't go on. I mean, I had a chat to a couple of guys from Shalom the other day, and all of them, in fact, would say, I mean, they put themselves in Shalom. They don't go to court, get busted, and say, you've got to go to Shalom. It's not a jail. It's not a rehab center. It's a discipleship center. And that's why a lot of people in the community are getting wrong ideas of what Shalom is. But you see, people get to this stage where they go, I've had enough. I can't do it. I'm going to go to this place. And who do they find? They find Jesus. Only El Elyon, the God Most High, can defeat your enemies. Can defeat your attack. Always. As we serve God to do His will, we need to remember that those who oppose us in God's will are opposing God. We've got to remember that. That He will deliver them into His hands. So when Abraham attempted to do battle with the four kings we talked about earlier, it must have seemed quite useless to the people who lived back then. I mean, how could he hope to win against these four powerful kings? He wasn't a king. He didn't have an army. He didn't have training, as far as we know, to do this kind of battle. But he was much like David, the shepherd boy, attempting to defeat the giant Goliath with only one sling. And that is exactly what he achieved in the end. See, the four kings were defeated by Abraham, but they had to surrender their valuables and prisoners to Abraham. They returned home empty-handed. In Genesis 14:14-16 says this. When Abraham learned that Lot had been captured, he called together the men born into his household, 318 of them in all. He chased after Chedorlaomer's army until he caught up with them in Dan, where he divided his men and attacked during the night from several directions. Chedorlaomer's army fled, but Abraham chased them to Hobah, north of Damascus. Abraham and his allies recovered everything, the goods that had been taken, Abraham's nephew Lot with his possessions and all the women and other captives. Now, how was Abraham able to accomplish this impossible feat of gaining such a great victory over four powerful kings of the East? Have you ever thought of that? It is only because the God Most High, El Elyon, who is greater than all earthly kings, was able to tame them all. So Abraham won the war because the God Most High, El Elyon, was the one who reigned supreme over all and granted him the victory. See, what struggles are you dealing with that lead you to El Elyon? Because if you're struggling in any area in your life, you can go to El Elyon and he will deliver you. What enemies of the cross are keeping you from fulfilling your destiny to Jesus Christ? Or in Jesus Christ, sorry. Is there something or someone that is getting in your way of being a witness for the Lord or living up to the standards of Jesus? Or keeping your vow to God? Or are you slowly backsliding away? What is it? Is it doubt? Who's putting that doubt in your head? Is it faith? He only needs faith as small as a mustard seed. Is it the pull of the world? Well, this year I've spoken a lot about what the world does and what the world believes. You know, that's a sign of stupidity, of learning and being taught what the world offers and then what God offers and then actually going down and following that world. I know, I've been there. I was brought up in the church when I was 11, left the church when I was 16 because I knew everything. And 16-year-olds know everything. They do. Just ask them. 17-year-olds know a lot more. But I'm just finding out at the ripe old age of 48 that I'm starting to realise that I know nothing. But what's pulling you away? What's pulling me away from things? Well, I wasn't going to speak about this, but I'm just having a little personal journey of my own at the moment. And I'm having to deal with things of the past. I'm going to share it with you. But I found out this week after a lot of prayer and a lot of talk that I have a problem with rejection. And because I'm actually going to a counsellor to get it sorted. Because I found out that rejection usually ends up in betrayal, which has happened way before I ever met Sally when I was a kid. And then because of that betrayal, what happens? Because of my rejection, I look at that betrayal, and so in between the betrayal, I just disengage. So for many years, I've just disengaged. If someone lied to me or I knew someone had done, I disengaged myself. If someone hadn't told me the truth, I disengaged myself because I didn't want to be betrayed, because I know that being betrayed feels absolutely horrible for me, because that's a form of rejection that I'm suffering. It's not the other person, but what I do in walking through that, I actually end up putting that on my wife and my children. My children are hearing this for the first time. But you see, I think it's important that we've got to understand that what God is, what El Elyon is supreme over everything, and the enemy will try and take us out. And I have kept this, I haven't kept it covered for all my life, but I've suddenly worked it out at the age of 48, that I have rejection issues, but I need to sort them out. And as your pastor, I personally apologize to any of you if you have felt rejected from me. And it's something I'm going to have to walk out over the next few months. I wanted to share that with you because God created man, God created woman. We've all got similar problems in our lives. Whew, it's pretty quiet. Don't worry, I've got another joke coming up, all right? So if you need to call upon El Elyon in prayer, which I did the other day, and ask him to give you strength so you can stand in it instead of trying and doing it on your own. Now, that's what I love, El Elyon. That's why I love God, because I know he's with me. And no matter what I'm going through, and sometimes it can be really horrible stuff that I'm going through, I know that he's got my back. And that's what gives me the confidence. And, you know, some people say, oh, but you're an extrovert, Kerry. You know, you're always the party person. You always like doing that. But you know what? Over the 30 years, I've slowly dwindled into not being that party person, because I've suddenly realized that I've been masking my rejection and all this stuff. I've been masking it by, it's all right, everything's okay. You know, some people ask me, say, how are you going, Kerry? Yeah, good, mate. Yeah, good. And us blokes, come on, we've got to get real with each other. We've got to get real with each other. So if I ask you how you going, mate, and you say, yeah, everything's good, everything's right, I'm going to slap you up the side of the head. All right? Wayne Maloney, how you going? Yeah, good, mate. Yeah, good, mate. Nah, it was funny. But why not be like Abraham and to rely on the God Most High instead of trying to make it through it all by myself? He is available to you. He's available to me. And he wants you to access his power of victory. You know, I feel like Big Kev. I'm excited what God and I are going to do traveling in the next few months. What's holding you back? What's holding you back? Number three, El Elyon is sovereign. He is sovereign. You know, once a man went to a pet shop to buy a parrot. No, he did. And the shop owner pointed out three identical looking parrots. You've been into pet shops, haven't you? And on the perch he said, well, the parrot on the left costs $500. Why does the parrot cost so much? The customer asked. He goes, well, he knows how to use a computer. Well, that's pretty good. But how much is that next parrot? Well, that one costs $1,000. Why $1,000? Well, it can do everything that the parrot can do, plus it knows how to use all the office equipment that you find in the office. Wow. Naturally and increasingly startled, the man asks about the third parrot and is told that that one costs $4,000. Needless to say, the man asks, what can that parrot do? To which the owner replied, to be honest, I've never seen him do anything, but the other two call him boss. All right, now if you're a boss, that's take it up with Sally, all right? Don't get offended, laugh at yourself, you know. Don't go, but please, don't go to work and share that joke. All right, it's not a good career move. Now, God is El Elyon, which means he is sovereign. And he doesn't have to ask you or me about anything. He is sufficient with himself to do everything that he wants to do. He is his own boss. And God, that wasn't a joke about you, okay? But you might find it hard to believe. But listen, El Elyon is capable of doing the job of running this universe without asking your advice. After all, he is the one who created and sustains it. Abraham said, I have solemnly promised the Lord God Most High, creator of the heaven and earth, that I will not take so much as a single thread or sandal thong from you. Otherwise, you might say, I am the one who made Abraham rich. See, Abraham knew the sovereign God made him what he was. His victory came from God. His wealth came from God. His wisdom came from God. Now, Abraham understood the scriptures in advance of it being written when it says in James chapter 1, verse 17, whatever is good and perfect comes to us from who? From God above, who created all heaven's lights. Unlike them, he never changes or casts shifting shadows. Over 100 years ago, a tornado struck a town in Minnesota, USA. Thirty-seven people were killed and hundreds were injured. And one small town was totally demolished. In the midst of the disaster, an elderly British surgeon and his two medically trained sons worked almost around the clock for days, aiding the stricken and bandaging wounds and setting broken limbs. Their heroic work did not go unnoticed. Their excellence as physicians and their selflessness in the service of those in need created a following among the tornado victims. The doctor and his sons were offered a financial backing to build a hospital, provided that they took charge of it. And the men agreed, and in 1889 founded a clinic that soon attracted nationwide attention. Even today, most physicians, most nurses know of this place. Their little clinic grew, and it was in the city of Rochester, Minnesota. The elderly doctor's names was William W. Mayo. His sons were William J. and Charles Mayo. Their clinic is called simply the Mayo Clinic. It now consists of over 500 physicians treating more than 200,000 people a year. It is known worldwide as one of the premier places of health, healing and excellence in medicine. Now, I'm sure if you asked the citizens of Minnesota about Rochester tornado at the time, they would have said it was all about death and destruction and unqualified disaster. But put it into perspective of better than a century, and in the hands of a creative God, the tornado was really about life, help, and healing. Now, I'm not claiming that God used that tornado, but that in his sovereignty, he could take what was a very negative situation and use it for his good. You see, we view everything from the perspective of the past and present, but God views everything from the perspective of the past, present, and future. I don't know why it is. Sometimes we all get stuck in the past and in the present. You know, Paul says, forget what lays behind you and look forward. Run that race. Because God is the God of impossible. He can turn things. He can turn things around when we put our trust in him. You know, it reminds me when I was in South Sudan at that 1.2 million refugee camp, when the guy said to me, he goes, where's God in this? Remember I said, there's God in the workers, right in the middle of that cesspit. God's right in the center of it. It's a perspective. El Elyon is sovereign over the world, and that includes you and me. Now, what we need to do is get to a place that we trust that he knows what he is doing. El Elyon can take your life as it is today, no matter what your circumstances and no matter what scars you may bear, and turn it into something so beautiful. If you'll just turn it over to him. I mean, who can say, oh, gee, 10 years ago, I wouldn't even imagine where I am today. But 10 years ago, there might have been some real scary things you might have been looking at. Some of you might be looking at some really scary situations right now in your life. Real scary. But try and trust in God, call upon God, and he will walk with you through those times, in the good and in the bad. Can I have the music team up, please? So as we've seen, El Elyon is supreme, he is strong, and he is sovereign. And when I think of those words, it makes me think of someone quite untouchable, but by a mere human being like me. But I rejoice in the fact that this great God stoops down to every one of us and shares himself with us in the most intimate way. I just want to thank those people praying for me during that service, this service this morning too. Bless you. I think that's amazing. I don't know how I did that. I couldn't have done that. That's thank you for your prayers this morning. When I came out there, they just put their hands on me straight away and prayed for me. Because I was in my office coughing every 5 seconds. I don't know. I even said to Craig, I said, Craig, you're going to have to come up and take over. You're probably going to have to do that. Praise God. Let's just take a time moment now and just let's just pray. Let's just pray to El Elyon right now. Just quietly in your own. Just praise him for actually who he is. El Elyon, God Most High.